Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we look into the mysterious deaths of more than 20 doctors within the last 6 months. Erin Elizabeth with the website HealthNut News has been consistently reporting on the cases as they've occurred. A listener and astute observer had forwarded each new unfortunate case to my email as they were reported on. Many of the deaths are unsolved, still under investigation, or the facts in the case don't add up. Or the death was officially reported as a suicide, a conclusion of which family and friends often strongly disagree. The most significant overriding fact seems to be that the 12 or so doctors linked to alternative practice or health research all died horrible, violent deaths within a 3-month period and around the same region of the United States. To briefly define the terms, the holistic concept in medical practice upholds that all aspects of people's needs, including psychological, physical, and social, need to be taken into account during treatment. Osteopath emphasizes the physical manipulation of the body's muscle tissue and bones. Other areas that some of these doctors were researching or publicly speaking about include anti-vaccine activism, GCMAF, an emerging treatment for conditions such as autism and cancer, CBD oil, which is a cannabis oil, or the treating of public drinking water with the waste product known as sodium fluoride. We welcome back John Lorden to Another News to talk about this unusual and tragic loss within the alternative health medical community and take a closer look into the data compiled by Erin Elizabeth. John is a former entertainment technologist for 20th Century Fox, TV Guide, and Cirque du Soleil. John Lorden is now the host of Brain Scratch on YouTube's Geek and Dorks channel, a show that explores mysterious occurrences and cases where the official explanation just doesn't seem to fit. John Lorden, welcome back to Another News.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here again.
Well, it's good to have you back. I'd like to go through the list of these cases with you. I think it may be important to evaluate one at a time to help get a better understanding of what may be going on here. And we start with Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet. John, you produced an episode of Brain Scratch on the death of Dr. Jeffrey Bradstreet last year. And if you would, please tell us about the information you found out about his case.
Sure. Dr. Bradstreet was he was known for alternative treatments, specifically for autism. He had a child that had suffered from autism, and he started giving out treatments called a GCMAF treatment. And it's a bit controversial. Let me pull up my notes on it real quick. GCMAF, this is information from Health Masters. Why is GCMAF so threatening to Big Pharma? It's being heralded as a potential universal cancer cure. As a matter of fact, they have a list here of diseases that it's supposedly good for treating, and it includes everything from HIV to Hep C, even to chicken pox. And apparently, it's a naturally occurring substance, so it can't be patented. So, and this has been kicking around. I think the first studies about GCMAF came out in 2008. So it's not that it's very recent. However, Dr. Jeff Bradstreet apparently was treating people with GCMAF. And the FDA raided his clinic. And then I believe it was a few days later, he was found dead in a river in North Carolina with a gunshot wound to his chest. And initially, when I started looking at the case, that was the part of the mystery that really kind of boggled my mind. How do you commit suicide, have a doctor commit suicide in a pretty uninformed way? I mean, most people that commit suicide by gun, an overwhelming majority of them shoot themselves in the head. Now, it's not unheard of to shoot yourself in the chest, but a doctor would probably be more aware of all the ways that that could go wrong. And then I also considered how he got into the water. I mean, is he wading out into this river before he decides to shoot himself? I mean, just thinking of the physics of it, it just, some pieces didn't seem to line up. So I initially caught on to that case and reported the very few facts that came out about it in the news. I think my episode came out in July of last year. And recently I went looking again for some updated information. And in terms of major media, there is none. And back at the time, the local authorities were saying they believed that it was a suicide and that there would be a pending autopsy result. I have not seen any autopsy results. His family does not believe that it's suicide. They actually ran a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for a private investigator. So, and they raised quite a bit of money in that cause. But still to this day, I really have no idea what happened there. And if you think of the forensics to prove a suicide, I think it'd be pretty easy. They'd basically need to test for some type of gunshot residue on his hand to see if he's the one that pulled that trigger. And I think that that information coming out would quickly put a stop to this conspiracy theory, but unfortunately, that is only where the conspiracy theory starts. He's the first case in a whole series of cases that are now being tied together in a potential conspiracy theory.
Yes, and I understand that anyone can submit a FOIA request to the police department doing the investigative work to get the case files on this to determine if that information is available. Did they do the gunpowder test on the hand?
In my experience, I did some research into FOIA requests specifically for the Elisa Lam case that I covered pretty extensively last year. And there are a few loopholes where the police don't actually have to hand that information over. One of them is if they consider that it would release private information of the individual. And I think a claim of suicide has some kind of legal lockup on it to where that could be seen as a private matter. Outside of that, I found that the LAPD just basically doesn't pay much attention to FOIA requests out here, if they're about that at all. Mm-hmm. Other loopholes they have is if there's pending litigation. And I've seen police departments even mention just if someone gets an attorney, not even if they filed a claim of any kind, but just if a family member hires an attorney, they will frequently use that as an excuse to keep details of the investigation private.
Hmm. That's interesting, John. And also, I might mention that regarding the FOIA request, that could vary from state to state in terms of the policy.
Absolutely. And I think even from precinct to precinct. LAPD, from what I've heard, they basically don't release any information.
All right. So there's no additional information on Dr. Bradstreet. That was June 19th, 2015.
Yeah.
A day later, and I'm going down the list that Aaron Elizabeth from HealthNut News had compiled.
Yeah.
June 21st, 2015, Florida East Coast, two chiropractors are found dead. Their names are Dr. Baron Holt and Dr. Bruce Hedendahl, both fathers, she writes. And Dr. Hedendahl also held a PhD in nutrition from Harvard. So there's a health aspect to this one as well.
And chiropractors, I actually looked into this a little bit because I also followed Aaron's kind of her layout of these cases, but then I went and tried to independently verify the information that she was presenting using a couple of different sources on the web. For an example, there's a great website called healthgrades.com, and they will list specialties for certain doctors, and you can leave comments about your doctor there if you want. But these guys were both chiropractors, and I even looked into that a little bit because originally Aaron's claim was holistic doctors in the Florida area are essentially being killed off. And if you look into this, I know it's a bit semantical, but if you look into a chiropractor, yes, they are called doctor, but they are not necessarily seen as holistic doctors. They are what's known as a holistic practitioner. They essentially handle one very specific part of giving that type of service. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing about Baron Holt is Aaron mentions he was a triangle practitioner, and I did find several references to that specifically to him, but I couldn't find any definition about what a triangle practitioner was. I couldn't find anyone else that had claimed to be a triangle practitioner, so I'm still not quite sure what exactly that service is. But without a doubt, these are all medical professionals in the holistic area. Those guys both died. Yeah, Jacksonville, Florida for one of them, East Coast of Florida, I had noted for the other. However, Baron Holt did actually live in North Carolina. And Jeff Bradstreet actually lived in Georgia, but he had formerly lived in Florida. So this is kind of almost the nucleus of this conspiracy theory as it was originally stated. You know, people in Florida, holistic practicers being killed off.
You're talking about the region, this near Georgia, northeast Florida region.
Yeah.
Dr. Hedendahl, though, he held a PhD in nutrition from Harvard. Is there information on how they died?
For Barinholt, that's another weird thing about most of these cases is some of the information is extremely private, except where it appears to be a homicide. And in suicide, they seem to release little pieces of information. Both of these deaths in particular, I think, are currently being classified as natural cause deaths. So there is not a lot of information given. Bruce Hedendahl, I believe, had done an athletic event that morning. I'm not sure if it was a run or an Ironman or something like that. Apparently, it was pretty rough on him, and he went to his car, I think, to try to cool down. From some information that I've reviewed, they think that it might have been some form of him not having enough water or something like that, not getting cooled properly. He was also 67 years old, although they do note that he was in great physical shape. For Barinholt, it gets even a little fuzzier. The only thing that we really know is that he was struggling with recent health issues. I found a few different references to that, but no additional detail. Typically, where that was stated, they also said, but it didn't appear to be life-threatening health issues. And the family doesn't really buy the official explanation there. They're a bit suspicious.
Right. That's going to come up again and again here. That's three doctors, and
yeah.
This is still June of 2015. We go to June 29th, 2015. Holistic doctor Teresa Severs, who's an MD,
yeah,
was found murdered in her home. Did you do investigative work on this one?
I did. First of all, definitely verified this is a holistic doctor. She specialized in nutrition, anti-aging, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases. There's references to her website about using quantum energy to heal. So definitely categorized as holistic. Two men were arrested in this case. One of them is a childhood friend of her husband, and I just saw some recent news on that he has actually entered some kind of plea deal that is now implicating her husband in being involved in her death. So that's kind of the latest news on that one, but certainly a homicide. Apparently it was pretty grisly. She was bludgeoned, I believe, by a hammer.
Again, John, this is in Florida.
Definitely. They lived in Florida, and she died in Florida.
This is the same month of June 2015. So far, one, two, three doctors and a fourth in Georgia nearby,
yeah,
strangely killed, murdered, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I actually made a column. I basically have this big super Excel sheet where I've been tracking all my info, and I tried to classify these deaths. And, you know, according to the official explanation, that's not necessarily what the truth is, but just what the media is reporting. I listed Dr. Bradstreet as currently a suicide. The two chiropractors appear to be natural cause deaths with the limited information we have about those right now. But this one with Dr. Teresa Severs, this is certainly a homicide. However, with the information that's just coming out now, it feels pretty certain that this is a personal issue, and her husband was somewhat involved in this.
Did you get a sense of a possible motive? I know this is speculation and hearsay, but did you get a sense of something else going on here?
I didn't. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't. And I kind of bumped into that a lot with these cases. There is a privacy factor that I believe the police are operating on that is probably for our better good, you know. I don't know that people would want all of their dirty laundry aired out in cases like that, especially when they don't have a choice. I mean, Dr. Severs is not here to control that information or to respond to any of that information that comes out. So, unfortunately, there's a bit of a curtain around some of that info.
I was reading some of the comments on below an article on her case, and somebody wrote that they found it odd that someone who was nicknamed the Mother Teresa of South Florida could be married to someone who would be involved with her murder.
Yeah, It certainly is. It certainly is. It's a bit dark. And someone, you know, you don't go into this type of practice and try to help people in this way without being a person that generally cares about not just the well-being of others, but about the world. I mean, these people are holistic. It's almost a philosophy. It's a way of looking at how we all live together. Me personally, being a vegetarian, definitely gives me a certain way of looking at the world, and I happen to appreciate holistic practices like this. It's a philosophy that these people choose to live in, and someone that cares about others like that to meet such a grisly end it's certainly unfortunate.
Just a couple days later from that, July 3rd, 2015, Patrick Fitzpatrick, a medical doctor, goes missing. He was traveling from North Dakota to Montana, and his truck and trailer were found on the side of the road. What information did you gather from this one?
Essentially the same as you. There is not a lot known here. He is still missing. He's an ophthalmologist, and he was 75 years old. Right now, I just have a comment on it that I believe there is a possible accidental death here. I don't know if he might have gone walking in the woods or something along those lines, but they still haven't found him. This is one case where, when I looked up his profession, I could not find any references to him necessarily being a holistic doctor. So I'm not quite sure if this case still fits the pattern of the original four or five. And also worth noting, there was actually another one on the same day as Teresa Seavers, and that was Dr. Jeffrey Whiteside. That was back on June 29th, and he died in Appleton, Wisconsin. They believe it's a suicide. There was a gun that was found with his body, and they could tell that it was fired once. He was critical care doctor, and he apparently had left after a disagreement with his wife. So once again, that might be a personal issue, but that is another death that is part of this theory also.
That's Jeffrey Whiteside, a medical doctor. And Aaron writes that the local press were calling the investigation, quote, a mess. Did you read that?
I did. I did read that. And it's weird because that's literally all that I saw on that comment was they said that it was a mess, and they were, once again, being very tight-lipped about the details here. They won't even state that they say they think it's a suicide, but they won't even say how it was a suicide. In another statement, they say that a gun was found, and they know it was fired once, but they won't even state that they believe that he shot himself. So definitely some big questions in this one.
Right. There are big questions because he often traveled this route to visit his son. If he just pulled over to maybe whatever he needed to do, it doesn't make sense that this would be an opportunity if he was suicidal. There's something going on with the investigation. So
yeah, there definitely is in that case.
How can
in most of these cases, you'll find that there. It's amazing to me that certain information is released, but then no one ever goes back to it. I mean, just like with Dr. Bradstreet's case, you know, you're promised information to come out later. Multimedia kind of, or major news media kind of forgets about it, and the authorities never release the information publicly. And I think we're going to see that in many of these cases, unfortunately.
Well, that's what I like about what the work that you're doing. You alert your viewers to do additional follow-up work, if possible, and to keep their ear to the ground in social media and things like that. And listeners of this show are alerted to, you know, the series of tragic deaths that it could be helpful to the families and friends of the deceased to do follow-up investigations.
Definitely. And I have had some very good tips come in from viewers. They're extremely helpful, and it's great to have a whole share of brains working on these issues.
All right, we go now to July 10th, 2015. Lisa Riley, she was 34 years old, a doctor of osteopathic medicine, and she was found in her home with a gunshot wound to her head. What did you find out about this one, John?
Yes, I believe this is another case from Georgia. She was an emergency room doctor, and unfortunately, this one appears to be a bit cut and dry. Her husband has been arrested and charged. He actually had a previous attempted murder charge where he used the same MO, where he basically shot a woman in the head, but she survived. That case fell apart for some reason. Apparently, the information that that woman was providing did not seem reliable, so those charges did not stick. But in this case, I think they're pretty confident that it was her husband, and they've got the right guy.
And I wonder if Lisa knew about that, about her
husband.
Oh,
boy, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. But, you know, you see cases where women will communicate with known convicts in jail and even marry them, and I don't know if she knew or not, but yeah, that's certainly a good question.
But they're in jail, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of understand it, I suppose, but it reminds me a little bit of Teresa Severs in a weird way.
Yeah.
8 days later, July 2015, a month to the day after the first doctor, Jeff Bradstreet, was found dead, writes Aaron Elizabeth in this rundown. Dr. Ron Schwartz was found murdered in his East Coast, Florida home. Did you find information out on this?
This one was very tight. I did not find a lot of information outside of them believing that it was a homicide. His expertise was that he was a gynecologist. I believe in Aaron's article, she also pointed out that he possibly ran an organic lawn service. I did not find information to suggest that he was necessarily a holistic doctor or holistic practitioner. But other than that, no, very limited information on this case.
Uncertain if he was holistic. He was licensed. Again, the regional issue between, he lived between Florida and Georgia.
Right, right.
We're talking about a month later after Jeff Bradstreet. It's very odd that these deaths have occurred so consecutively.
Yeah, and it is worth noting that when the first five in particular were wrapped up into this theory, this kind of conspiracy theory, some smaller major news organizations, like local news organizations, I believe ABC and NBC, did catch on to that story, and you'll find little blips of that on the internet. But largely, it's been ignored by mainstream media. And definitely, as we add all these cases and this theory gets bigger and bigger, it seems to be largely ignored by mainstream.
Just another day later, this is number 7, July 21st, 2015, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, a holistic medical doctor, dies suddenly. Can you talk about that one?
Yes, this is one. Erin actually claims that her and her, I believe it's her boyfriend. I think on the episode I shot a brain scratch, I said it was her husband, but I think it's her boyfriend. He is also a holistic doctor, and they knew this man. He practiced family medicine. He was known specifically for treating cancer holistically, and he had some very good compliments about that. This is in the New York area. And the autopsy results do believe this is a heart attack, basically what you would consider a natural death. However, apparently his website has some comments on it. I believe they're left by family members where they are disputing those results.
Right. Aaron writes, his official website says that while they initially thought it was a heart attack, his autopsy does not support that belief and shows no heart attack. She didn't write that he was from the New York area, but that's where he's from?
Yeah, that's where he's from. I had to suss that out. In most cases, I was able to find locations. There's only one or two where I think I'm missing a deceased location for Dr. Marie Pass. I have a bit of a question on the hometown or the home state for Paige Adams, but every other one I was able to verify.
All right, John, number 8, July 21st, 2015. This is Dr. Abdul Karim, an outspoken and loved holistic biological dentist. Tell us about what happened here.
This, I've actually heard two different stories on. One of them is that he was on a training run. I believe he was training for a half marathon, and he had a heart attack. I've also heard it told a little differently that he had actually already gone out for his run, and he had come home and changed and was heading to work and then had his heart attack. So I'm not sure which one is accurate. But he is a dentist. He was also a deacon at a Baptist church. I tried to find some references to back the claims of him being a holistic dentist. There is actually a Holistic Dentist Association. However, they did not have him listed, but I think they only had 300 or 400 members nationwide. So I'm not sure if there's other associations or if he just wasn't with them. But I really couldn't find any direct ties to him being a holistic practitioner directly. And he was also in North Carolina.
Okay. So this is North Carolina, still on the East Coast.
And
another person running.
I'm also a runner. I've done over 60 races in the past 7 years. And my wife actually works for an organization called Race Guards that are essentially medical help that are running with the runners. And, you know, we're tapped into that community quite a bit. And you do hear of people having cardiac events during runs. It's not completely unheard of. That's not to say people shouldn't be running. What it usually is an indicator of some type of unknown cardiac issue that they have that is then exacerbated by the run, and they have, you know, some type of event.
Right. It's not uncommon. You do hear about those, especially young people having that.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you've had people that literally die in marathons from these type of events. So it's not a huge number, but it certainly does happen.
And I just want to say that because it's not that uncommon, it doesn't mean that it's not suspicious in this case.
Right, right.
July 23rd, just 2 days later, authorities announced they have found the body of Dr. Jeffrey Whiteside, who has been missing for more than 3 weeks. Talked about that. Do you have comments on this particular piece of news?
Just that this is the suicide case that they are not putting together, that they won't say he shot himself, but they say that it was a suicide and they found a gun and it was fired once. And this was in Appleton, Wisconsin.
Okay. August 12, 2015, osteopath Mary Bouvier is found slain to death in her home in Pennsylvania. Did you find information on this case?
I did, and the most interesting info is that it wasn't actually a home that she lived in. She owned it, but she didn't live there. She actually kept it as a shelter for numerous cats. And if I'm recalling correctly, they initially looked at a neighbor as being a potential suspect, but I think he has been cleared since. She was stabbed to death, according to the information that I saw.
Hmm.
And stabbed to death with her own knife, a knife that it was actually that belonged to the house.
And the neighbor was suspect because maybe they didn't get along.
I believe so, yeah. And I think he was also the one to call in the body at that location and then kind of wound up on the list of being a suspect for a short time.
Right. That's not unusual.
Yeah.
And so he was cleared. So they may have gotten along. We don't know. So he was cleared. But this is, again, another an osteopath. And I just want to remind listeners that in particular, an osteopath emphasizes the physical manipulation of the body's muscle tissue and bones in the treatment.
Yes, and she specialized in geriatric patients, from what I understand.
That's really sad.
Yeah.
September 7th, 2015, Aaron broke the news to the health community of 29 holistic doctors, referred to in the German press as homeopaths, NDs, and psychiatrists, who were poisoned by an overdose of a hallucinogenic drug. So we're all the way over in Europe almost a month later. What are your thoughts on this particular entry?
We know this case. This did hit some major media coverage. And according to Snopes, I found some information, they believe that there was a meth-based drug given to these people called Aquarest, and that they're not sure that all the attendees were, quote, holistic doctors. However, they don't really give us any breakdown on the number that they believe there was. And no one's really sure how these people were given this drug. At first, they thought maybe it was some kind of thing where the doctors were all deciding to have a good time and try to recreationally use this drug. But I believe as the number of incidents were called in, that thought quickly fell to the wayside, and the theory that they were given this drug without knowing it seems to be the prevalent one.
It's tough to speculate here. I wonder if there's any kind of connection in the larger picture.
You know, to discredit someone, if we look back at some of the experimentation that the CIA did, particularly with LSD, they were known to try to discredit some of their own agents by, duping them with LSD, essentially giving it to them without them knowing. So as a discredit tactic, certainly. It is worth noting in this case, though, there are no fatalities, so this really isn't them trying to get rid of these people in a long-term fashion. Everyone recovered. But outside of that, it could be discrediting for sure.
I agree with that. That could, as a possible tactic, indeed. September 16th, just a week later, Mitch Gaynor is found dead outside his country home, an hour or so from Manhattan, where he practiced. Did you find information on this one?
The official info on this is a suicide. However, there's no specific details on the cause of death. As you mentioned, this is in the New York area. Doctor of oncology, also was an author of books on treating cancer with holistic approach. So certainly what would be considered a holistic doctor.
He just finished an advanced copy of his book. So he was engaged in life, could look at it that way. Number 14, Sunday, October 11th, Dr. Marie Paz is found dead of an alleged suicide. John, can you tell listeners who she is and what may have happened here?
This one is extremely hard to find information of. There is no mainstream media coverage on her death. I couldn't even find an obituary. In most of the cases, I was able to find an obituary, but nothing here. Apparently, this information came via Facebook posts that Aaron had reviewed from there. I did find some information about her. If I remember right, I found her website for her practice. Stated she was formerly a nurse, then became a chiropractor. Aaron also reported that she was a certified detox specialist, pediatrics, and certified in applied kinesiology, but I couldn't find information to necessarily confirm that. I do believe that she was living in Alabama at the time, and like I said, suicide, but we really have no details on the cause of death.
Aaron included that one. And October 29th, 2015, back to New York City, Jerome E. Block, M.D., jumped to his death from his Central Park West apartment building. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Dr. Block was internal, and he was specialized in internal and urgent care medicine. He was 76 years old, and he had actually recently been fined for Medicare fraud. I believe they fined him $105,000, if I remember correctly, which, considering a doctor at his age, I would think is probably not it's a slap on the wrist, but I think he would probably have the money to cover that. However, I believe it threw him into what could be a bit of a depression. He took a break from his practice, and it appears that he might have jumped from this 20th floor. You know, being 76 years old, I think it was also noted that one of his employees likely had called in the fraud charge. So, I'm not sure what that would do to someone, but it sounds depressing to me.
As you pointed out, probably nothing he couldn't handle in the long term.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I mean, doctors, I'm pretty sure they have enough cash to cover that. That's a pretty light slap on the wrist for Medicare fraud.
Is there any information on whether he's an alternative health doctor or holistic or followed any of that?
I did classify him as holistic, but I can't remember specifically why in his case. Some of these cases kind of blend together in my memory, but I would have only done that if I bumped into something where he had mentioned some type of holistic practice. So I do believe he was a holistic practitioner.
Okay, January 25th, 2016, this is this year, Our own friend of 10 long years, this is Aaron writing, holistic doctor Rod Floyd was found dead at his home in Florida. What did you find out about that, John?
I found out he was a chiropractor and also a professor at a chiropractic college. Unfortunately, this is another one of those cases where there was really no mainstream coverage of his death, at least in terms of mainstream media. However, I did find a comment from his wife saying that she believed that it was an accidental death, but I have literally no details about what that entailed.
Okay. February 1st, 2016, a week later, Dr. Bradstreet's nurse, who he worked closely with, Paige Adams, found dead. What did you find out about that?
Now, the interesting things about Paige are she's not a nurse. She's a nurse, or she's not a doctor. She's a nurse practitioner. She certainly did work with Dr. Jeff Bradstreet. Aaron states that she lived in Florida, but I found the website for Paige's practice, which offered personal consultations with her, and that was actually located in Nashville, Tennessee. So according to the info I found, it seems more likely that she was living, maybe she was split between the two locations, but at least some part of the time she was in Tennessee. Definitely a holistic practice. From what I found, the only comment I could find about her death was that she potentially died of complications from Lyme disease.
Oh, it wasn't mysterious necessarily.
Not according to this comment, but that's literally all that I found on it, was that it was potentially due to her Lyme disease. If I recall correctly, that was actually on the website for her practice. They had a pretty touching note on the homepage about her passing.
Yeah, this is really odd. I don't think that's common to die from Lyme disease.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's why I would say it might have been some type of complication from Lyme disease. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think Lyme disease is a cause of death in itself.
And this is exactly what some of these holistic doctors were focused on to treat something like Lyme disease. I know Teresa Sievers was working on that.
Yeah, and one thing about this research, when I bumped into their past, in particular some of the obituaries, you would find information about their own personal struggles and how that had led some of them into these holistic practices. A lot of these people faced some type of issue as part of their backstory.
Three more doctors that I've just written down here. Professor Alan Clark, who was 52, and he was found in the UK, dead in the woods. Do you want to talk about that story?
Actually, I don't have information on that one. You've got me beat on that one.
Well, John, this is Professor Alan Clark, who did a lot of work on cancer drug research, and he was discovered by his wife and neighbors in some rubber suit hanging from a tree a few hours after taking the family dog for a walk. He was director of the European Cancer Stem Cell Research Institute and cancer research in the UK. Another person here, Cheryl DeBoer, she is a chemist who was working on cancer research. Did you look into that one?
I did, and even that information about her being a chemist, I could not verify. I know Aaron put a link to her LinkedIn profile there. By the time I got to that link, her profile had been removed. According to the information I found, this is in the Washington area. Once again, she was not a doctor. She was not a nurse. She worked at a cancer research center, but she worked in the Statistical Center for HIV and AIDS Research and Prevention. She was known for writing some software that they use for their research. In terms of her death, they found her with cuts on her fingers. They appeared to be self-inflicted. I believe they also found a small razor blade in her pocket. There was a small amount of blood found in her car on the passenger side door, and a large amount of blood that was seen on the floorboard, but that was actually found to be animal blood, which I really don't understand. Her official cause of death is asphyxia. She had a plastic bag wrapped around her head, and she was found in a pipe that ran under a certain section. A pipe that I think was about 6 feet tall, but wasn't filled with water. It was about halfway full, and they found her in there. Official conclusion is that this is a suicide.
Right. And here we have the family disagreeing with that. Cheryl's mother made a comment, quote, "As confusing as the news reports are, our family is unwilling to discontinue the investigation surrounding Cheryl's death. It is inconceivable that Cheryl would take meat out of the freezer for dinner, text the driver of her carpool that she would be at the park, and ride in 10 minutes, park her car, walk 1.5 miles, crawl through brambles and mud, put a plastic bag over her head and lie face down in a cold, shallow creek to end her life. There's no evidence of drugs in her body, nor evidence of from family or coworkers of depression or other reasons for her to even consider it. The lack of understandable evidence is not a reason to assume this is a suicide. If Cheryl would ever consider this, she would have thought of many easier ways to accomplish the act. I'm sorry, but Cheryl did not take her own life."
Yeah, and I definitely have to agree that it's a bit strange to me to have your head wrapped in plastic and then throw yourself into a water source. I don't know that I've ever heard that as a method for suicide before. And, you know, I've looked into several cases like this amongst my Brain Scratch show. However, there is a little bit of a discrepancy in the story her mom's saying about the park and ride phone call. According to the authorities, she had contacted the person that she carpooled with and actually told them to go ahead and go to work, and she would catch a bus because she had forgotten her ID at home. So a little bit of a discrepancy in the story there.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, my heart goes out to her mom and her family, but I do think it also highlights that when people commit suicide, I think it is fairly easy to find a family member that doesn't believe it. As a matter of fact, I see that as a significant trend in just about every case that I look at that has to do with suicide.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. January 27, 2016, fourth generation Marine, 49-year-old John Marshall, who was an Army doctor and worked at the VA hospital in Washington State, went missing after going for a run. Police are investigating his death as suspicious. Did you look into this one?
I did, and I found basically the same info you have, acting chief of surgery at a VA hospital. I think this is classified as an accidental death. I did find a note that they found what they considered long fall injuries. They didn't go into it any further than that, but it seemed that he had suffered long fall injuries. I'm not sure if he might have been running over a bridge that happened to be over the river or something to that effect. But at this point, they are classifying it accidental.
And this is Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, and I did find some information to suggest that he would have been definitely into holistic practices as well.
Right, he was supporting it. John, are there any more that you had uncovered?
I did find one just as of this morning that Aaron had actually reported on, and I went and did the additional research to verify the info, and it certainly is true. It is Dr. Wydong Henry Han. It appears he was deceased on March 24th, 2016. It is a triple homicide. His wife and also his 5-year-old daughter were killed in it. It happened in California in Goleta, which is in the Santa Barbara County area, and he was certainly a holistic practitioner. He owned a clinic called the Santa Barbara Herb Clinic. They offered acupuncture services, treatment plans with Chinese herbs, and some other holistic practices.
A listener had brought to my attention, and I want to thank Kent, a listener in New Jersey, for sending me some information, historic context of Big Pharma's dirty wars against alternative medicine. And it's a book titled Dirty Medicine by Martin Walker. And he talks about the 1964 AMA Commission on Quackery, formed in an attempt to put alternative health practitioners out of business. The commission described them all as fraudulent, unproven, unscientific, and cultish. The commission was linked to other organizations with vested interest in allopathic medicine, insurance companies, licensing boards, universities, etc. A bill sponsored by Representative Claude Pepper, following commission hearings, sought to impose larger penalties on alternative practices, even to the extent of forming a strike force within the Department of Justice aimed at alternative practitioners. The bill fortunately died in the committee. In 1985, the National Council Against Health Fraud, the NCAHF, was founded by psychiatrist John Renner. Another pro-industry anti-quack organization, the American Council on Food Safety, founded by Elizabeth Whalen, who openly admitted to taking money from anywhere, regardless of the special interest of its donors. Funders have included Dow Chemical, Amoco, Mobil, Monsanto, Shell, Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Campbell Soup, Heinz, Hershey, Pfizer, and the AMA. Whalen would frequently use the term, quote, food terrorists to describe those who were critical of the processed food industry. And Kent notes that interesting to see how similar terms are revived against anti-GMO and animal rights activists. And lastly, CSICOP, PSYCOP, the self-proclaimed debunking organization founded by Paul Kurtz. Kurtz was a member of the Congress for Cultural Freedom, anti-communist group funded covertly by the CIA through the large American foundations such as Ford and Rockefeller. And it goes on to describe how a magician named James Randi received a $272,000 genius grant from the MacArthur Foundation to expose hoaxes and frauds. One of PSYCOP and Randi's favorite targets have been homeopathy. In the summer 1989 edition of the Skeptical Inquirer, Randi wrote, quote, I certainly agree with Martin Gardner's designation of homeopathy as a cult. It meets many of the criteria, including the invention of attitudes or statements on the part of those who oppose its notion and claims. And Kent writes, it's great. Again, it's very instructive to see that this critique of homeopathy perfectly describes their own modus operandi as a projection. Now, you did a lot of research into this, not only for Brain Scratch, but for this show, and you put together that Excel sheet. What patterns did you see emerging here?
Well, I basically wanted to try to verify the theory, and to do that, you have to first kind of quantify what the theory is. And as I went through Aaron's materials, I could see that the theory, it kind of shifted a little bit. Early on, with a particular those first five cases, there was a very clear story of holistic doctors, Florida-based, being killed off. And as it continued and you see her add more cases, you see that Florida pretty quickly drops out. To your point, certainly it seems like people on the East Coast are being highlighted in this theory. But from there, I did some number analysis on these classifications of suicide, a natural death, a homicide, an accidental death, and in one case we have unknown because we don't have the body in case of Dr. Patrick Fitzpatrick. But my numbers came out to we're looking at 6 suicides, 5 natural deaths, 5 homicides, 2 accidental deaths, and that 1 unknown. And in terms of them being holistic, I also did classifications on that and came out to 12 that we can confirm are holistic doctors, 3 more that are holistic practitioners, and in 5 of the cases, I felt like there was no holistic reference found. Not to necessarily say they're not, but I could not find any information on that. And if you look at Erin's later materials, you know, she's written about this a lot. She has a YouTube channel where she's posted a lot of videos about this. She's even admitting that in most cases, they're holistic doctors. She's not kind of keeping herself clubbed to them all being holistic anymore. So once I had all these numbers, I wanted to know what was the probability. What's the probability that this could be happening naturally? Because you can't really prove that there is a true conspiracy happening here, especially with this limited information. But at least we could look at it in terms of numbers. And in the U.S., you essentially have 318 million people as of 2014. Almost 1 million of those people are doctors. So you could figure if you know 300 people, the odds are pretty good that one of them is a doctor. Every year in the U.S., there are just over 2.5 million deaths. So if you take that 2.5 million and you multiply it by the number of people that are likely doctors, you come out to approximately 7,900 deaths that are most likely doctors per year. And when you're considering a sample set like that, is it hard to then drill down to find holistic doctors that happen to be on the East Coast? Personally, I don't think so. At this point, I also have gone through Google, and if you run a search specifically on holistic doctor deaths and go through every result, at least for the first page and well into the second page, you'll see that all of them are quoting back to Health Nut News or to Aaron directly. So it's tough, because you look at a pattern like this, you start to see something, and I certainly believe that there are conspiracies going on. I know of those big bad companies that you mentioned. I know that they don't act in the best interest of the public. But drawing a bridge from that information to a theory where these doctors are literally being killed off either by big business or by our government gets a bit tough for me. And it kind of seems to me that at least the conclusion I reached on my episode of Brain Scratch was that this is most likely a theory that has been put together by Aaron, and she is now finding cases that fit that theory, and she will continue to add that information, but she's not looking at the statistical probability of that occurring naturally.
Good work, John. That's what I came to as well. I wasn't sure what you were going to say. We didn't talk about our conclusions before this interview. That's where I ended up, and I was one of the ways I sensed it was some of the sentences that Aaron was using. And
yeah,
I wrote to Kent. I said, "Hey, there's something odd about Aaron's involvement here. As a journalist, she's chosen to include doctors in this list, but the way she describes the inclusion of Nurse Paige Adams is weird." Then the line, "I don't want other doctors to live in fear." And I asked, why is it an issue of what she wants?
Right.
The way a person writes reveals a lot about them psychologically.
Yeah.
And especially writing, not speaking, but writing. But I said, maybe Aaron is being used to foster the fear of being a doctor in alternative medicine, or maybe she's part of something else. And I was talking about the intel agencies. These people are talented and manipulate collective fear and information flow. And she's getting the word out in the unaccountable second net media.
I think you've reached a pretty sturdy conclusion. If you pay attention to the details, and that's part of why I did this whole exercise of trying to verify the details that she gave us, there are some significant omissions that she made, like you noted when we were talking about certain cases that she didn't have the state listed on that particular case. It just, the data felt a little funny. And, there's also something to be said for the social media aspect of it. I am a kind of recently popular in terms of my Brain Scratch show,
right,
person. And I know that when I did episodes particularly about my, quote, star case, about the Elisa Lam case, that those always got the most views. Now, I think we, as the type of journalist we are a form of journalist, I think it's imperative that we are responsible with the information we're presenting, that we try to do it fairly, and that we take criticism about it and really try to either refute it or understand it. And I think that in this case, we might have someone that's becoming popular on social media, and she knows that every time she posts an update about another doctor, holistic doctor death, she gets more views on that type of post. Does that necessarily mean that her theory is valid?
If nothing else, the takeaway here is establishing a fear within the alternative health community, and that could be the psychological operation in itself. Yes, people have died, but the numbers are not holding up to a real potential conspiracy with big business, big pharma, and or government.
No, and you might actually be onto something more by suggesting that it's some almost like a counterintelligence op that would kind of fit this MO. It's definitely striking fear in people. I mean, I heard about these cases. I know you heard a lot about these cases as they were happening. But if you would, just do me that favor. Do a Google search on holistic doctors killed. Go through every one of those articles, and you'll see it all points back to Aaron's source information. And the source information, if you go to her own page, usually refers back to herself. So it's kind of tough. It's kind of tough. Each of the murders, in particular the murders, needs to be investigated, needs to be fairly looked at. I also do run into a lot of cases where I feel like suicide is a default answer that the police will sometimes go to if they don't conduct a very thorough investigation. So I totally sympathize with and understand what those families are going through. But is what Erin, is her writing helping or hurting those people? I'm really not sure.
She did post a video of some strange things happening to her phone, and you did a recent brain scratch on that. What's going on there?
Yeah, first of all, when I was sent a copy of the video, it only had about 1,500 views, and I was shooting Brain Scratch the next day, and I went back to it, and it had over 10,000. So definitely a popular video for her. In the footage, she is showing what appears to be an iPhone. I'm relatively certain is an iPhone. And she's saying, look, it's happening again. My phone is dialing people. It's sending messages on its own. And she holds the screen towards the camera so you can see what's going on there. I found it pretty intriguing. You know, I'm a former IT person. I worked particularly with handheld devices in one of my jobs. So I know a bit about touch screens and how they can go funky. But I even did additional research and found an article at Android forums where a person was describing the exact same symptoms. And a commenter did kind of like a heat map on what buttons were being pressed, and came to the conclusion that, look, your screen is essentially registering these taps, but we can see that it's nonsensical. It's not writing whole words. It's writing the same four letters over and over again. And in Aaron's case, there was autocomplete boxes that were popping up on that section of bad screen. So occasionally it would pull like a name from her address book. It brought up her phone dialer, but you'll see in the footage it's only hitting buttons in the very center of her screen. And it's just, it's highly unintelligent. I've also done some programming, and if you're going to make something malicious, you're going to have it actually do something. You're going to have it send an email to every address in her book, trying to get them to a website that has some malicious intent of some kind. You're not going to write a program that just does random garbage on a person's screen to try to freak them out. But her video is really shot in that mode where she is being freaked out, and she thinks it's related to her research on these doctors. And she says that someone told her that this would happen, that, you know, the screen will go funky if there's a device in her house. It's just a lot of unsubstantiated information in that video.
Well, John Lorden, I really appreciate you being on the show, you know, working with me on researching this information and getting some type of a conclusion on this data. It might encourage other listeners and viewers to take this on, and maybe they might arrive at something else. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate that you focus on issues like this and give us a forum to talk about these things.
That's going to do it for In Other News. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you.
Спасибо, Коля.